Would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy?
Present.
Mayor Ronald Irvin?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Britt Hansen, city attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation. Let us turn our thoughts to the refugee crisis in Europe, where people are fleeing war and conflict, in Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia, leaving all they own behind so as to protect their families and friends from being slaughtered by the various warring factions. And so for these desperate people, let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have three proclamations tonight, and I will read them. This concerns Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Whereas every year thousands of children across America are diagnosed with cancer, an often life-threatening illness that remains the leading cause of death by disease for children under the age of 15, and whereas the causes of pediatric cancer are largely still unknown, and though new discoveries are resulting in new treatments, this heartbreaking disease continues to scar families and communities in ways that may never fully heal. And whereas more than 40,000 children undergo treatment annually, one in five children still lose their battle to cancer. Of the survivors, three in five children will experience long-term and often life-threatening late effect. And whereas during the month of September, we remember the young lives taken too soon, stand with the families facing childhood cancer today, and rededicated ourselves to combating this terrible illness. And whereas in the city of Bisbee, we encourage all citizens to increase their awareness of children's cancer, which affect thousands of children each year. And now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Ronald Early, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, Arizona, do hereby proclaim September 2015 as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. The next proclamation is Bisbee Rotary Day. Whereas Rotary International, founded on February the 23rd, 1905 in Chicago, Illinois, United States of America, is the world's first and one of the largest nonprofit service organizations, and whereas there are over 1.2 million Rotary Club members comprised of professional and business leaders in over 33,000 clubs in 200 countries and geographic areas, and whereas the Rotary motto, Service Above Self, inspires members to provide humanitarian service, encourage high ethical standards, and promote goodwill and peace in the world. And whereas Rotary in 1985 launched Polio Plus and spearheaded efforts with the World Health Organization, U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and UNICEF to immunize the children of the world against polio. And whereas polio cases have dropped by 99% since 1988, and the world stands on the threshold of eradicating the disease. And whereas to date, Rotary has contributed nearly US$850 million and countless volunteer hours to the protection of more than 2 billion children in 122 countries. And whereas these efforts are providing much-needed operational support, medical personnel, laboratory equipment, and educational materials for health workers and parents. And whereas Rotary's dedication to the global eradication of polio has remained constant, and 2015 marks the 30th anniversary of Polio Plus and three decades of progress and challenges the program has faced. And whereas Bisbee Rotary Club members sponsor service projects to address such ethical or critical issues as poverty, health, hunger, illiteracy, and the environment in their local communities and abroad by supporting Rotary International's Polio Plus to further the cause of a polio-free world. And now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Ronald Early, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, do hereby proclaim that Saturday, September the 12th, 2015, be declared as Bisbee Rotary Day in the City of Bisbee, Arizona. I encourage all citizens to join me in recognizing and commending the Bisbee Club and Rotary for its more than 90 years of service to improving the human condition in local and international communities around the world. And I would like to present this to Ms. Carrie Gustafson. Thank you very much, Carrie. The third proclamation we have tonight is the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee Day. Whereas the children of Bisbee, Arizona are the foundation on which our future success is built, and whereas children seek parents, mentors, and friends to aid them in reaching important goals, and whereas families and communities play vital roles in helping children develop a positive self-image and a sense of belonging and a sense of competence, and whereas Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee Day is a special day set aside each year to encourage and remind adults that the meaningful time they share with children is important to their development, and whereas the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee Day emphasizes the importance of meaningful time spent with kids on this day and every day all year long, and whereas the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee Day is in recognition of the club's mission to inspire, teach, and enable the youth of Bisbee and nearby rural border areas, especially those who need us most, to have fun while realizing their full potential and productive, healthy, responsible, and caring citizens. And whereas the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee is now 13 years old and continues to strive, serving over 600 youth annually, being one of two Boys and Girls Clubs in Cochise County along the international border with Mexico. And now therefore be it resolved that I, Ronald Early, Mayor of the City of Bisbee, do hereby proclaim that Saturday, September the 5th, 2015, be declared as the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee Day in the City of Bisbee, Arizona. I also call upon all citizens to join with me in recognizing and commending the Boys and Girls Club of Bisbee for providing their everyday contributions and commitment to improving the lives of the children and young adults in our community. And I'm going to present this to Annette Flores. We are going to go to call to the public, and we have a few people signed up. We'll go down through the list. We'll start off with Mr. Eric Farner.
Good evening, Eric Farner, 609 Bisbee Road. Two quick items of business. One, I wanted to give a shout out to our building inspector. A couple weeks ago, I was hobnobbing with the mayor, and I had a concern about a vacant house up the street from me that had a tree, a big pine tree, that was pretending it was a piece of bacon, you know, a little lean. And they said, go see Joe. And Joe was just coming in. I said, Joe, we got this house, and its tree's falling over. And he just did a U-turn, and out he went to go and take care of it on the spot. And I was kind of impressed that a bureaucracy would do that. It's like, boom, he was gone out the door. Well, you know, and they came back, and now the tree is cut down. It's no longer vacant. People have moved in. Safety issue taken care of. Second order of business, real quick. Every now and again, I like to try to do my best to give voice to people who maybe don't feel they can, you know, speak on behalf of their own. A gentleman who I've come to like and respect tremendously wrote something today that I don't think he feels that he's able to come and speak, but his words are so eloquent, I want to speak for him. These are his words. I don't necessarily agree with them, but if I had this position, I wish I could be so eloquent. He says, regarding the iBisbee Committee, iBisbee seems to be a City of Bisbee-created sponsored committee, which claims to be made up of a cross-section of the Bisbee community, when in reality they are clearly made up of various moneyed interests. This is much more than the periodic investment developer that comes to Bisbee wide-eyed and full of hope, who leaves with their tail between their legs. If that were so, I wouldn't worry. My attention was piqued at the idea of this world-class hiking trail that is envisioned as surrounding the whole town and apparently running the length of the gulch, and then some. Here are my initial thoughts and questions, not only for the iBisbee Committee, but for Justin Jensen. I wonder if he means Justin Johnson. But you know, is there a person on that committee named Justin Jensen? Anyway, he asks, is there any sort of projected community impact analysis prior to the adoption of various projects? If so, does it include the projected impact of proposed projects of the quality of life of all socioeconomic strata of our community, including not only the low income or but fixed or even no income, or would that be considered non-consumer members of our community? I posit that the diversity of financial lifestyles in Old Bisbee and the cohesive and mutually supportive nature of these various circles is a substantial component of the overall quality of life for all its residents as well as visitors. Therefore, any project that can be reasonably presumed as negatively impacting the quality of life of any economic sector of our community by eliminating opportunities for the enjoyment of and or active participation as valued members of this community should be seen as negatively impacting the quality of life for all our residents. These projects should either be scrapped or carefully reformulated in order to protect the quality of life and dignity of all members of our community. He goes on to say, I do hope that the committee has the foresight to not immediately discount the ideas or concerns of anyone who, for whatever reason, is unable or unwilling to orate those concerns at the podium or have the time or wherewithal to be a member of the committee. In my opinion, committees, particularly city-sponsored committees, should be willing and able not only to address the concerns of the citizens they claim to represent, but also canvass the community to gain an understanding of those concerns. And there's a little bit of crosstalk, but those are the ideas he put out there. And so I just wanted to, you know, to give him a voice. Richard Mosher, I'd say, a man who I've come to really like and respect for his eloquence on Bisbee issues. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Mr. Eric Farner. Next we have Mr. Ryan Bruce.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Ryan Bruce. Old Bisbee. Number of places on Bisbee. I wrote this because Mr. Connors suggests that every time I get behind a microphone, I think it's time to talk. So I will keep this brief, as brief as possible. I want to thank you very much for reviewing the special event liquor license or application permit that is on the agenda tonight for September 11th, 12th, and 13th. KBRP plans on hosting a number of community events that will give the Bisbee Blues Festival attendees an opportunity to see our new home and experience a little bit about what was created by Sloan and Danielle Boucher-Bay and their staff. My apologies also in that I didn't want to take too much time tonight from an exceedingly important issue that is on the agenda that I had the opportunity of having a really amazing conversation with some folks from the community on the radio station this week. And I want to thank Sharon Rock, Sharon Stetter, Joan Hansen for bringing this to the council. It's really important, so I'll keep my comments brief. On its merit, the special event liquor license, application permit, sorry, abides by all laws and regulations of the City of Bisbee. The event will be held inside a private property that has been built for the purposes of performance. The space has been soundproofed and maintains a sound system that has been crafted to fit the space. The building up to today operated with a Series 6 liquor license, which allowed the license holder to sell beer, wine, and spirits during business hours for for package sale. By state law, it would allow the business also to operate until 2 a.m. to sell this alcohol. Over the last 3 years, and this was confirmed by a public records request, thank you to the city clerk, the Bisbee Royale did not receive one noise complaint and took great care to ensure that it was being responsible with its license so that it was not a burden on the neighborhood or community, which begs the question, of course, what has changed that has caused someone who did not oppose the initial license to now oppose a three-day permit for KBRP? Fred Miller has suggested that the Bisbee Blues Festival would cause a parking, noise, and neighborhood problem at the Bisbee Royale, but said nothing of the event when it's being held by the same applicant, but with a different owner. If we, we'll skip over some of this. Point by point, though, parking, which is one of the concerns, has not traditionally been a problem in that location, except when the town is active, which means that if this license is rejected based upon parking, then the rule should be applied universally and thus limit almost all special events in Bisbee. With regards to Mr. Miller's letter, this particular concern holds no merit as well, since his business maintains a private patron parking lot. Again, with regard to noise, the activities planned by the Bisbee Blues Festival are no louder, than anything else that has been hosted in the space in the last 3 years. And while Mr. Miller's concerns stem from it being a mixed-use area, experience would indicate that it has not been a problem, and logic would dictate that at the very least, Mr. Miller should allow for a new business owner an opportunity to provide the same professional outcome as the last business owner. As a community nonprofit organization that survives on the goodwill and support of our residents, the idea that somehow KBRP would not be an adequate neighbor now that it has received a large-scale donation is simply absurd, and would propose and would purposely, cut the organization's nose off despite its face. KBRP is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means we are a mission-driven organization that brings together almost 60 volunteers, 400 members, and scores of listeners and supporters to our broadcast signal on 96.1 FM, as well as our community activities with organizations and other groups, including the KBRP Youth Media Project, Radio Cultural Partnership, City of Bisbee Council Streaming, Copper Chronicle History Project, the Bisbee Royale, and the Bisbee Blues Festival. Rather than going on and taking any more of this body's time or effort, I would simply ask you to approve this permit, which has no way, unfortunately, of being approved at this juncture because of the time that is left before the event, which has effectively limited a news business venture from succeeding because of one individual's attempt to assert his control over KBRP board, staff, volunteers, members, listeners, and community supporters that number in the thousands and invest a great deal of time and effort to make KBRP great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan Bruce. I think that concludes call to the public. I don't see any other names here. So we'll go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $51,439.11.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $51,439.11. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda. I have one person that would like to speak on item number 2A, Cinda Combs.
I'm Cindy Combs. I live on Brewery Avenue, and I wish to speak to the liquor license question. Bisbee needs tourism. The success of the Royale will enhance tourism, and it seems it would be foolish for the city to put obstacles in the way of KBRP and the Royale. There's no guarantee that KBRP will succeed with this project, but let's help and not hinder. The building has good soundproofing as is. Please support KBRP and grant the liquor license. It's in the city's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cinda Combs. We have items A and B of the consent agenda. I will read them. Item A, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Radio Project Incorporated for an event to be held at Bisbee Royale at 94 Main Street on Friday, September the 11th, Saturday, September the 12th, and Sunday, September the 13th, 2015. Ryan Bruce, applicant. B, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by the Bisbee Council on the Arts and Humanities for an event to be held at the First Presbyterian Church Annex, Howell Avenue, on Saturday, September the 26th, 2015, from 5:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. David Smith, applicant. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A and B.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A and B. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of resolution R-15-12, a resolution of the mayor and council, City of Bisbee, Cochise County, State of Arizona, recognizing the practice of aid in dying as a desirable medical choice for many terminally ill, mentally competent adults. This item was asked to be put on the agenda by Councilmember Hansen, and I will defer to her right now.
Do I need to read the resolution? For the record, or
you can speak, you can say anything you want, or you can do that if you want.
I didn't know, you know, protocol that was.
We haven't passed it yet, but you can certainly read it.
It is a long resolution, and I hope that everybody has had a chance to read it, because I think it really puts in perspective exactly what we're asking for. And that is that there are two things that kept coming up, is the abuse of a legalized aid in dying. And I think that the way the resolution reads, it really takes care of that question, because the individual has to be mentally competent. That keeps family members, other people, from making that decision. And I want you to keep in mind also that this is simply a symbolic resolution. This is not any legal law, but it's simply stating that we believe that people with a terminal illness who are mentally competent should have that choice as to when they finally do die. It's not a choice between life and death, because they already have a death sentence. It's simply when is the best time for them. And the other thing is that this really does promote a conversation on this particular subject at a larger scale. And other than that, that's really all I have to say, unless anyone else has any questions.
Well, thank you very much. We have quite a few people actually, have signed up to speak on this particular agenda item. So let's go down through the list, and any time the council wants to interject something, let's do it.
We'll start off with,
Regina G. Drybread. Hope I said that not right name.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, my name is Regina Drybread, and I live at 202 4th Street in Bisbee, Arizona, Bakerville. I am here to speak out against the aid in dying resolution that will be voted on tonight, and I understand what you're talking about, but my point is very simple and to the point. Our God created us, and it's up to Him to decide when our lives end. We as a people have taken that power away from Him in so many ways, and this is just another way of taking that power away from Him. I sincerely ask that you would please vote against this resolution. It goes against everything that God created.
Thank you. Regina Drybread. Next, let's go to Oliver Searchfield.
Do I have to say hi to you all, too?
Just say your name and address. That'll
My
work.
My name's Oliver Searchfield. I live on 14B Art Avenue in Old Bisbee. And I'm here in support of the resolution. For those of you who recognize me, I was the chef and co-owner of Bella Roma Pizza until my health issues forced us to close in February of 2013. From mid-2002 until his merciful death in the spring of 2013, I watched my father deteriorate from a strong, fit, vibrant man who was occasionally confused into a pallid, wasted, and terrified thing in a bed whose existence was only a boon to the balance sheet of his nursing home. I had been helpless to end his suffering for all those years until eventually my denial of a flu shot finally gave him the peace he needed, and he's finally free. And this morning, as I was jotting down these notes, I received a phone call from a friend. And it's a very dark irony that she needed help taking her elderly injured cat to the vet to be euthanized. As my own health declines, I find myself jealous of pets, for they can have their suffering ended by caring friends and family. I've considered moving to Oregon, but under Oregon law, by the time I'm terminal, I will not be capable of making that choice for myself. I've lived my life on my own terms, and I'm going to end it on my terms at the time I choose. I only wish to have the chance to say goodbye to my friends and loved ones without exposing them to any criminal liability for my actions. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver Searchfield. Let's go to about former council member Benny Scott. Did you want to go later?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll go there. My name is Benny Scott. I live in Ward 3, 513 Harrison Street. I'm a retired police officer. Also, a retired councilman. Back in when I was a young pup and living out on the ranch, my dad had arthritis, and he was very ill and very stubborn. And we, as times went on, it got to where he couldn't walk. He couldn't really do anything, and it became, I thought, my job to take care of my father. I did clean his fanny. I did wipe his nose. I did help my father eat. My father passed away very quietly at night. My mother was a cancer victim. Went through all of this stuff in 7 years, nothing happened, and she was cured, and then it came back. Well, as it came on back, me and my sisters and all, we were raised that we took care of our family. Now, I took care of my mother. I did things that I did with my three-year-old kids and a young year-and-a-half kids. I changed the diapers. I wiped the nose. I helped her feed her. And when she passed away, she passed very peacefully, and she had a Bible beside her. She went naturally. Now, then, my 27 years as a Bisbee police officer, I attended a little over 100 autopsies. What is the cause of death? And what does the death certificate state if you give somebody, when you work with your mother-in-law, your wife, or whoever, and you give them a pill? Nobody wants to tell me that, and I did call an old colleague in Tucson. He says, actually, it's assisted suicide. He says, if there's something you have to understand, Benny, yes, there are people that, and I'm not talking about people laying on a ventilator for 4 and 5 months. Never. Don't let me lay there that long. My wife and I have already have that. We have this thing that if I'm laying there and I can't talk or something, pull the plug. But if somebody's sitting there and they can talk to you, what is the cause of death? If you work with them and they decide they want the pill, but tomorrow they don't and you've already given them one, what's the cause of death? Is it assisted suicide? Nobody wants to come up and say, what is the cause of death? I have another little thing about this. And I'll have to tell you right now, my wife and I look two different ways. Let's say one of my family members decides this is the way they want to do. They're competent. They got all their faculties together, and they can't get up. They can't walk. They can't dance. They can't do nothing. Tomorrow they feel better after they take the pill. Where are we at then? What is it then? Or what is it if they don't want it and it changes and you've got them and your three-year-old grandkid gets them? It's called negligent homicide, right? Yes. I have one little thing, and I'll tell you right up front. I was raised different than probably some of you. But if I'd given my mother a pill, there'd been two funerals. I would have walked out behind the barn and stuck a gun in my mouth.
Thank you, former member Benny Scott. Let's go to Ms. Susan Blackford next.
Seem to get in trouble on that point. Susan Blackford, Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. I was the only one that spoke against this resolution, aid in dying, at the work session held on July 28th at City Hall. All of you then and tonight will hear reasons why to go ahead and pass this aid in dying resolution. First of all, it is not your job on the council to decide progressive liberal ideas. This is not what you all were voted in office for. This job is to get city business done, period. The last mayor and council did a great job of dividing this town, voting on progressive liberal ideas without a vote of its citizens. Do you all want to keep going down this path? Why is the council not addressing the issue of the lack of money in our general fund to run this city in 2 years? Where are the work sessions on this matter? It's like watching you all rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic. Does this mean that every time someone has a resolution that will take over the business of this city, does this mean that you will approve everything given to you to vote? Great. Let's start doing more on our side, since now you all have a record of approving anything put in front of you without even hearing the other side and reviewing all the facts. Why? Maybe it's easier for the city council to cover behind issues like this and not deal with the hard matters of this city. If nothing else, let the voters of this town vote on this issue next November. What's the hurry to get this matter done now? Having this policy, like voting on issues, would help a lot to heal this town. Second, I spoke with Mr. Halpern. For those of you who weren't here, Mr. Halpern was a nice gentleman that did a slideshow in the presentation for Aid in Dying. When I spoke to him, he was very professional and polite, and I asked him some questions regarding his presentation that I was not clear of. First, there might be all these states that he referred to looking into doing an aid in dying legislation, but he stated that it does not mean that it will be presented or even passed in many of these other states. Therefore, to me, it was confused thinking that while all these states support this concept, why don't we? Well, that is just not so. The other item we discussed is the care that hospice provides in the last 6 months of dying. He told me that there are some profit hospice that are not providing the care needed at the end of life, and that his organization goes after them. I support his action on this matter only. Hospice, in my experience, really helped my late husband, Jay, die with a quality of life with dignity and in little pain until it was time that God decided and took him home to heaven. Taking a pill to end your life is not the only option you have at the end of life. We are not animals. We are human beings created in God's image. There are other good options out there for pain management at the end of life, and they need to be explored by you all and offered in evidence a part of full discovery before you make any decision. Symbolic or not, remember you do not have the full knowledge to support such an important petition or resolution. Let's get back to doing what you were voted in to do, city business. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Susan Blackford. Next, let's go to Cynthia Conroy.
Hi, Cynthia Conroy, 608 Shattuck. I wasn't going to speak on this. I didn't speak on it last time. We all have, and I must say, it doesn't matter who gets up here and speaks. I've agreed so far with every one of them. And they've been eloquent and very conscientious in their personal stories. And so in summation, I will simply say that, of course, you're talking about one of the issues that brings up extreme fears, sometimes regrets, sometimes hopes. And for that reason, often the answer is religious and therefore personal for people. And the question of the role of government will continue to be just that, a question. And I think probably the very best thing that everyone has said at one point or another is that by bringing it up, at least people start to talk and they get to hear and feel what other people think and have experienced. So each one of us will make this decision for ourselves. I have no advice for the council on this matter. I only wish to say that one of my classic things that I have done in my personal life, having lost, many people here have, parents, a sister much younger than I, to breast cancer. My own son now is paralyzed and fits that classic example that I used to tell myself, which is simply this: there are worse things than dying. That's my personal belief. There are worse things than dying. So given that, I used to always say, and I continue to say, and maybe some of you will live to see this happen, I always say that since there are worse things than dying, because I have no fear of it or fear of much else, which means I'll probably die sooner than most of you guys, whether it's, as I like to say, by one of the four C's in my family: cancer, cardiac arrest, a car accident, and or Cynthia.
Thank you, Ms. Cynthia Conroy. Next, let's go to Cinda Combs once again.
Yes, I just wanted to say that and express agreement with Lizanne Michaud's letter in last Thursday's Observer, namely that it is totally reasonable to pass resolutions on big issues, in this case aid in dying, at the local level. A groundswell of genuine public support can build without having to battle the lobbyists and the big money that is active at the state and federal levels. And I hope that the council will support the aid in dying resolution.
Thank you, Ms. Cindy Combs. Next, let's go to Ms. Terry Nudy.
Honorable Mayor and Council, my name is Terry Nudy. I live at 411 Hoveland in Bisbee, in the Warren area. And I want you to know that I am against the aid in dying. I don't feel, we did not create ourselves, therefore we have no right to kill ourselves. Every life has a purpose. You are not God. I'm not God. We can't make that decision. My mother-in-law lived for 12 years after having a stroke that took out half of her body, and I cared for her. My husband and I cared for her. Some days, had there been a pill there, she would have wanted to take it. But there were other days where she was glad she had not. And if you don't continue on, you don't know what the next day brings. Phyllis Diller was very pointed about that in a book she wrote, saying that she would have ended her life, and she was so glad that she didn't. Feelings are fickle, and feelings change. This is a Pandora's box. Don't open it. And don't fool yourself into thinking that people will take control and do it for the greatest good. It is open to all kinds of abuse, and it's murder. This is murder, self-murder. And worse yet, you're asking doctors who have taken an oath to preserve life to break their oath and to kill. And according to the paperwork, the two pages that Joan referenced, you're asking the city attorney to look the other way and not prosecute people that are involved in this. Well, how arrogant, how deceitful, and how just plain evil. This is not a job for the city council. And I ask you to stop wasting time and resources on things that are dividing our city. Stop listening to the small majority of people, the noisemakers, and work on bringing this city together, fixing the problems, instead of eliminating people. This is a topic that is personal to everyone, and I don't think it's something that ought to be legislated by our city council, whether it is symbolic or not. We need to get back to running our city and bringing all of our people together to work together for the good of people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Terry Newby. Next we will go, and I think this is our last person on this agenda, item number 3, Ms. Sharon Rock.
Honorable Mayor, Council. My name is Sharon Rock, and I live at 136B Quality Hill. I've lived in Bisbee for almost 15 years, and I'm both proud and happy to be a Bisbee resident. We live in an extraordinary time of technology, and one area in which technology shines is in healthcare. Even so, with many illnesses, there's little modern medicine can do except attempt comfort, and many times even this falls short. A young woman diagnosed with Crohn's disease at age 15 was later diagnosed in 2008 at age 30 with stage 4 colon cancer. There is no stage 5. Her oncologist warned her that her death was likely to be painful and undignified. She begged and advocated for aid in dying prior to her death, but without success. She died in one of the finest palliative care facilities, vomiting her own feces, as her doctors had specifically warned. There are countless stories of unmitigated suffering of the dying. The time is overdue to give people the freedom to direct their own lives, which includes their own deaths. The people sitting at the front of the room tonight have the power to begin to move the possibility of that freedom forward in Arizona. Everything begins at the ground level, the local level. Where else would it start? We elected our officials to be the voice of the people. I respectfully request that each of you vote in favor of the Aid in Dying resolution tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sharon Rock. If there is anybody else that wishes to speak on this, I believe my list is complete on item number 3, but well, we're going to do that. Why don't you come on up, identify yourself, and find out what your position is.
Hello, my name is Sharon Strong. I live at 324 Black Knob View in Warren, and this is a subject I really did not plan to speak tonight. But this is a subject close to my heart for a couple of reasons. One, my mother died when I was 14 of breast cancer. When I was 12 years old, I was changing her bandages. When I was 13 years old, I was cleaning her butt, emptying her pee and her poo. When I, as an adult, I was a hospice nurse. I just retired from that 3 years ago. I don't think that we have the right to tell other people what they should and should not do with their lives. I don't have the right to tell someone they can't take their own life if that's what they want to do. I think it's a very difficult, a very personal decision. I used to be a Christian, and I'm not anymore. And we could go into that, and I'm not going to discuss that right now. But if you believe, and I say this with all my heart, if you believe that you were created by God and that it's up to God to make that decision for you, good. You should go with that. I really mean that. But if that's not who you are, you shouldn't have that imposed on you. I remember about a year before I retired from hospice. We had a patient in Tombstone, a retired vet, who had colon cancer. We did everything in our power to try and control his pain. And we can do some wonderful stuff. I mean, I just had both my knees replaced a couple of years ago. I got some of the best pain medication in the world. Boy, I had a good time with that. But when I was done with it, I was done with it. But we weren't able to control his pain. And he ended up by sticking a gun in his mouth and killing himself at the age of 45. Do we really want to put people in that position? Do we really? I mean, I think, you know, I think you, if you want to, if that's what you want to do, allow God to make that decision for you, that's fine. But don't force it on someone else. I don't know whether it made any sense or not, but anyway, that's what I have to say.
You did. Thank you. Just identify yourself.
Good evening. My name is Juan Carlos Peinado. My wife, Daphne, and I live at 151 AOK Street in Old Bisbee. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, these seven words sitting in our Declaration of Independence, guide our founding fathers and subsequent governments on how to govern this country. And the three words, the three key words, life, liberty, and happiness, are the most important ones that we all need to think about. To me, it's very simple. The role of government, big or small, is simply this. It is not to legislate the moral or the religious compass of this country. It is to guide the secular aspects of our country. Underneath that, individuals can believe whatever they want to believe. And you have that right. Thank God. But in my personal opinion, you need only look at what's going on in the Commonwealth of Kentucky in the last 48 hours, with the Supreme Court mandating licenses to gay couples. And yet you see the work of Kim Davis in the last 48 hours continuing to defy the Supreme Court's mandate and decision and continue to deny those human beings their right to be married. Obviously, I'm in support of this, and I speak on behalf of my wife, Daphne, as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, I think that concludes the public discussion on item number three. I certainly have some talking points on this particular item, but I will invite the council to speak if they wish to have comments to make. Any comments or questions from the council?
Mayor?
Council Member Dunn.
Certainly the work session we had, I was impressed with the, and moved, I should say, moved with the personal stories that were shared as this evening. Certainly the proposition we have before us is accompanied by 274 signatures on a petition in its support. I've certainly received many, many emails in support of this as well. As indicated, we're not here to legislate. We are here to provide the opportunity to move forward in the discussion of this issue, education, the public, discussion by the public. Certainly the city of Bisbee as an entity has very little authority in this area, and certainly it's has this resolution will certainly not help the individuals who shared their stories and similar stories. The city or the county attorney generally would be the entity that would choose to prosecute a case if they thought there was wrongdoing. It is definitely a decision that would be made by the Arizona legislature in terms of adopting such a right for dying in this state. And certainly I don't need to say that the city of Bisbee has very limited influence with the current legislature. So I'm not sure how far this resolution is going to go in terms of meeting that goal. I do believe that it is a question of personal choice, and so I'm supportive of this resolution. I do want to point out that there is a typo, and I just consulted with the clerk, and she says this is something that needs to be acknowledged and incorporated into the motion, and that is the third therefore starts off with Cochise County, that should say Bisbee, and certainly if a motion is made, I think the clerk has indicated we do need to make that modification in the resolution.
Thank you. Any other comments? I have a few talking points, and I'm sure when I'm done, we'll have some more conversation up here. So, first off, this is a non-binding resolution, and I appreciate what Councilmember Dunn said on the statewide level. They're probably, even if we pass this resolution, not likely they're going to pick it up. I had a private conversation with Ms. Rock about 2 months or so ago, and my recommendation was this needed to be dealt with on a state level. It's not in the purview, in my opinion, of municipal government, but rather should be dealt with on the state level where both sides, I only heard one side presented during the work session. When it goes into legislative committee, issues like this will have two points of view, the pros and the cons of a particular issue. We did not have that during the work session. And no matter what my personal view towards this issue, no doubt, we can see it here tonight, even though it's a gentle crowd, that's nice, but it will have a tendency to divide and polarize this community once again. During the work session, as I just said, only one viewpoint was presented, and so I'm not an expert on this particular issue, so therefore I really needed to hear the other side of the story, which I didn't hear. My focus is on municipal issues such as the PSPRS, Public Safety Personal Retirement System, which I addressed 2 weeks ago in Tucson in the Resolution Committee in front of 93 mayors and a very large audience, beginning the process of paving streets. I think we're just about ready to begin that, if we haven't started already today or yesterday. Building affordable housing for the elderly low income, we're beginning to address that. And matter of fact, I have a meeting to look at some land tomorrow on that. Work session in the next 10 days to discuss a solution for our budget woes and dealing with the great potential projects coming out of the Public Works Department. And there's a lot of magnificent things happening there. And finally, this resolution has the beginning, in my opinion, of an encroachment on the duties of the county attorney's office, even though the county attorney's office is comprised of top-level professionals, it is still a political position. And attempts to put pressure on that office by this resolution is beyond the scope of municipal government. Even though I believe the county attorney's office would not be influenced by this resolution, it is obvious to me that possibly defense attorneys could use this resolution to sway a jury. And until state law is changed, attempts to politically coerce the county attorney's office by deprioritizing certain state laws through municipal resolution, in my opinion, is an extremely dangerous path to walk down. And once again, this issue needs to be decided on a state level, the legislative committee, and then possibly to the entire state legislature, both the House and the Senate, and not on a municipal level. And even though this is a non-binding resolution, I think it is not a good thing to deal with it at this point in time. I don't have any further comments. Any other comments from the council? I knew we would elicit some. Council Member Hanson.
I understand what you're saying, Mayor. However, with what has been said in this room, and I thoroughly agree with the grassroots approach, if the state is going to take on this, I think they need to know what the people are thinking also. And I think this is a perfect time to do that. It's symbolic. It does not bind anybody. We're not telling anything to them. And I don't think that that is a fair assessment of what this is all about. We're asking to please do that. We can't tell them. It's symbolic. It's not a legal action. I thoroughly disagree with the points that you've taken.
Well, clearly in the resolution it talks about deprioritizing certain cases in the county attorney's office, and it is a political position. And I don't know what the prevailing sentiment in this community is. Could be 50-50. I don't know. And maybe I would ask Mr. Hanson. I think they're top-of-the-line professionals. I don't think they would be influenced. I would like to think that. But once again, sometimes there is political pressure. But once again, I'm being redundant, but I don't think they would be pressured. They will obey state law. And so...
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. Go ahead. I'm done.
Who's applying political pressure to them? Who would be applying a political pressure to them?
I would say this particular mayor and council would be by passing this.
I'm not going to. I don't agree with that.
Okay.
I don't see how we're going to be influencing politically the county attorney.
It's right here in the resolution.
It is a symbolic resolution. It is not legally binding, and they do not have to follow it. So how can you be doing politically?
And then my question then is, why is it in the resolution if it's not intended to influence?
It's a symbolic stand, and that's what we want the state also to realize.
Okay. Any other council member? Klein.
I have to agree with both Ms. Hansen and Mr. Dunn. And I think we've all been moved by the stories. We have our own. I come from a very large family, and cancer is one of the main diseases that runs in my family. I want to thank Sharon for bringing this up, because I think it's about time we have this conversation. And she and I had a very nice conversation, and I think she knows where I'm at on this. It is strictly symbolic, but I think regardless of how the vote goes tonight, I think the state will take notice, and that does get the conversation going, which is what you and I had talked about. Either way, it's a very tough decision, and I think most of us can see both sides to the story.
Thank you. Any other comments? Council Member Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. I couldn't disagree with you more, but that's not a surprise. I find it interesting and telling that at the beginning of, for sure, the last four, if not six meetings, that you ask us to think and to pray and to concentrate our thoughts on the Middle East and the horrific things that are going on there. And I agree that that's a good place to concentrate thoughts and to pray and to hope for something. This is where we don't take anything away from God. I don't think anything can be taken from God if you believe in God, as the way that we pretty much have all been brought up to believe, that God does the taking, and we don't. We make decisions. Sometimes they're not right, but they're just decisions. So this is exactly the place where these things happen. This is exactly where things take root. This is exactly where we push back. And without a little deviation from the norm, there is no progress in anything. You know, we get stuck in ways, and things work for really well for a while, but then we think of other ways, whether it's technology, or architecture, anything. If we had just stopped thinking and developing 2,000 years ago, we would just all be lemmings, and we would just be following people around and doing everything that we're told. But we have the ability to make sentient, well-thought decisions for ourselves. And that's what we're talking about, is people making decisions for themselves so that somebody doesn't have to go into the shed and blow their head off, so that we can, as the loved ones, help them do what they want to do. They're the ones that wiped my butt. You know, I starved my dad to death, myself and my seven brothers and sisters at the time. We starved and we starved him to death and stopped giving him food and water. He didn't complain because he was in a coma. But if you don't think that that has informed almost every single decision I've ever made since then. Now, I might be overstating it a little bit, but in the back of my mind, that was a decision that is made. And if it couldn't be any clearer that these decisions or this decision is made by the person themselves. Nobody is doing it for them, at them. To just sit and be told what to do day in and day out for the rest of your life and not make any kind of question or push back, what's the point? You know, I think we like to grow. I just dropped my daughter off less than 24 hours ago. We've been back 20 hours. I've been back in Bisbee, in Chicago, in science, and she's going to study science so that we can help people make informed decisions about what they want to do with themselves. My God has a pretty good sense of humor. My God enjoys the watching me get out of predicaments that I get into, and my God also enjoys the progress in the end, the little tiny victories that I have in my life. My God likes it when I ask questions of him or her. That's what we're here. We're just here to ask questions of people. What do you think? And you know, short of spoon feeding, going door to door, knocking on doors, and saying that there are meetings, we go to great, great lengths at the City of Bisbee to get these workshops out. I have 12 emails of proponents of this, and I have zero emails for people that opposed it. I've heard some this evening. I heard one a couple weeks ago. But these things don't happen overnight. These things don't happen, and we do the city's business. Believe me, we don't have time to just work on this all day long. We pay bills. We pave streets. We hire and fire people. We do what we have to do up here. And this is something that somebody asked us, more than one person asked us to do. And to shine them on and not take it up and see what's going on. And we've gotten a lot more input, just like the civil unions. We've got, and this isn't an agenda of ours. The civil unions wasn't my idea. The plastic bag thing, it wasn't my idea. This isn't my idea. However, these people are asking us to do something for them. And to deny them that, to just sit here and decide that, you know what, that's a state issue. That's not a local issue. Everything is a local issue. It's all local. If it affects us, it's all local. And this is how we manifest the manpower to get Phoenix to hear us in this little town of Bisbee, Arizona, the little mouse that roared. And we do. And the divisiveness and the division, I hear that one more time. If there was a way that we could come together, like have a conversation about things that you think are divisive, Mr. Mayor, we could go down those things and check them off if you want to. We can list them on a big whiteboard and talk them to death until they're not a divisive item issue anymore. But there's a certain amount of divisiveness that this town demands. There's a certain amount of success that this town doesn't like to see other people have, whether it's political or, let's just leave it at that. They don't like to see things happen if they're not for it. And I've never participated in a municipality that is so bent on distracting people from doing the things that they need to do and want to do. And this is something that was brought to me, and I want to do this. This is something that some of us would like to do. But, I think in a half a dozen work sessions, all of the issues that you claim are divisive and the last administration made divisive of this town, we could clear all that up if you wanted to, but that would mean that we are moving forward. That would mean that we're making progress on things that have kept us in lockdown for 40 years. Because if you're not busy being born, you're busy dying. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Any other comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
I just want to say, you know, this is not taking the place of hospice, of family taking care of family. This is something for people who have already been determined, you know, that they are going to die within 6 months. So it's not between life and death. It's about when am I going to die and how is that going to feel. if there's going to be suffering, there's just so much that a lot of the hospice can do, because you get into the regulation of the dosage of those type of pain medications, and if it's more than what is legally allowed, and even though it's not controlling the pain, you can't do it. And we've got people that are suffering. This is a choice. It's not forcing anybody to do this. It's not assisted suicide. It is not, it is simply allowing the individual the chance for dignity and death.
Any other comments from the council?
Mayor, I move to approve resolution R-1512, a resolution of the mayor and council, city of Bisbee, Cochise County, state of Arizona, recognizing the practice of aid in dying as a desirable medical choice for many terminally ill, mentally competent adults, and that we change the word Cochise County after the third therefore to Bisbee.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Nay. Motion passes 4-3. Item number 4.
Discussion of possible approval of resolution R-15-13, approving the City of Bisbee's general plan update.
Mr. Justin Johnson, City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, this resolution, R-15-13, is the last step in approving the update of the general plan. I certainly want to take an opportunity to thank Mark Capel and the Planning and Zoning Commission and the level of effort that the committee as a whole put forth to make sure this happened in as seamless as fashion as possible. The number of hours and meetings and conversations, the editorials that were written and prepared, and the number of public meetings that were held to try to get the word out about the general plan update were, quite frankly, phenomenal. And so I certainly want to take that opportunity to thank Mark and his group.
It was a good job, Mr. Appel. We have a few people signed up for this particular agenda item, and let me find them. We'll start off with Linda Weiland.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. I would like to speak in support of planning in Bisbee. Bisbee's done a good job in planning for the old Bisbee and Warren areas, and it shows. Those areas are attractive, orderly, and have a sense of place, but not so for San Jose. In the 15 years I've been in Bisbee, San Jose has continued to decline with hodgepodge development, signage, tall weeds, and open dumpsters. I think it's time to invest in planning for the San Jose area. Just to get it straight, I'm going to suggest that you should approve the general plan update with two specific changes. The San Jose area is our major commercial area, gateway to Bisbee from both the west and from the south, and the most likely location for the majority of future development. The general plan says on page 25 to spur growth in San Jose while continuing the revitalization of the city's historic core is the key of success, and the establishment of development standards to guide future development is crucial to San Jose. To move towards those development standards, in 2008, the city held a week-long planning exercise resulting in the San Jose Charette report. In the proposed general plan update, there are two new policies which reference the Charette. Policy 7.1E says new residential development should incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette report, completed in 2008. Policy 8.1F says new mixed-use development should incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette report. Based on these policies, it would appear that the best practices for the San Jose Charette would only apply to residential and mixed-use projects, but not to commercial or industrial development in San Jose. I would recommend I would recommend a policy be added, and that would be, that would be a policy that I've just misplaced that says the commercial and in all in commercial and industrial development in the San Jose area shall comply with the policies of the San Jose Charette Report. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. It would say policy 11-1D, all new commercial and industrial development in the San Jose area shall incorporate the principles of the San Jose Charette, guiding principles and best practices for the San Jose District, completed in 2008. That way it would make it clear that the San Jose Charette applies to all development. I would also I also suggest a change to the policy having to do with trails. Trails are very important because they allow residents and tourists an alternative to driving. They reduce traffic congestion and carbon footprint while enhancing public health and quality of life. The Urban Land Institute's draft report, number one recommendation under the category of going forward, the top five priorities said, focus on health and wellness as an economic driver by initiating organic niche agriculture efforts, building a connected trail system, expanding rural health care opportunities, and weaving it all together through concentrated tourism promotion and branding efforts. There's currently a policy in the general plan for the San Jose area that says it's policy 8-1D. It says require new residential developments to provide bike and pedestrian trail connectivity and linkages to neighborhoods, parks, schools, public facilities, and community services. In the update report that's before you, there is a suggested change that actually weakens the existing policy by changing the word require to encourage. Cities typically adopt a trails plan, and then as properties along those trails that are lines on the map are developed, trails are required, the developers are required to dedicate an easement for those trails as a condition of approval. And that way, over time, the trails develop. The way the wording is proposed to change that require to encourage, that would mean that trails would really be optional at the discretion of the developer. And any developer who refuses to participate could cause a permanent gap in the trail. I would recommend that you delete the proposed changes to policy 1D. So I would encourage that the City Council adopt the general plan update with the added policy 11-1D and delete the changes proposed in policy 8-1D. If Bisbee wants more economic development moving forward, I would also like to see the city incorporate some of the policies, the recommendations of the Urban Land Institute report in the general plan, seek grant funding for a San Jose area plan, including development standards, and adopt a trails plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Weiland.
Next, let's go to Michael McBurton. Are you here? Guess not.
Let's go to Cynthia Conroy. I believe you're signed up.
Mayor and Council, I am a committee member, and I want to report to the public that it has been my great privilege to work with the people on this planning and zoning. Mark and the other members are, quite frankly, for those of you out there who may not know this, trained professional planners. I, on the other hand, am a visionary. So the only thing I'd like to say is it's been my pleasure to serve on this again because I started on it many, many years ago. I'm not going to resign, but I am tempted because I believe the woman who just finished speaking, Ms. Wieland, I'm sorry she didn't come to our mini planning sessions. I completely support anything and everything that she just finished saying without repeating it to anybody because somebody got good notes, right? So that's all I want to say. I just want to say that, truthfully, this committee, Planning and Zoning, is extremely professional, and it's been my pleasure to serve. And I hope that, since we have openings, that Ms. Wieland will come immediately and join so that I can resign. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Cynthia Conway. Next, we have Donna Pauline.
Thank you, Mayor. Donna Pulling here, and I actually did write something tonight, too. I want to speak to you about an email I received from the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission in response to comments I made at last week's public hearing on the general plan. At that time, I requested that the council postpone adopting the general plan until all city commissions had a chance to read the Urban League Institute's report regarding economic development strategies for Bisbee that might affect changes to the plan, in particular, those relating to the San Jose area. I also commented on my experience with following the process to get an item on the May planning and zoning agenda concerning possible zoning violations in the San Jose commercial area. Since receiving that email, I've given a great deal of thought and have decided against reading it to you in public, although I have forwarded that email to all the council members for you to look at personally. The derogatory tone and critical remarks would only perpetuate, and I'm going to use this word, Councilmember Connors, divisiveness and separation between those in positions of power in city government and those of us who want to participate in it. What I'd like instead is to work towards participation, inclusion, and discussion. I believe good government focuses on similarities and seeks ways to accomplish goals, giving equal consideration to different approaches. You never know where your next best idea is going to come from. We all love Bisbee and care deeply about its future, which is why we feel so passionately about decisions made by the commissions and council and give of our time, energy, and resources. I encourage you to continue to find ways to promote public participation and demystify the way things work, especially complicated things like the budget, economic development, and the general plan. Believe it or not, most people still don't know when this council meets or how to address you about issues they are concerned about. Something as simple as posting these council meetings, in the What's Happening section of the weekly newspaper could remind people of the meetings and where to look up the agendas. That's at no charge. Everyone has something to contribute. Let's make it easier for people to access government and respect everyone who wants to participate. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Donna Pulling. Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Sullivan.
I just want to thank the Planning and Zoning Commission for the work that they did. I think they did a really good job. I'm sorry I wasn't here for the public hearing last week. I was out of town. But I do think that Ms. Wieland's additions and subtractions would improve it just a little bit. So I would recommend that we include those.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Okay.
Do we have a motion?
I move to approve Resolution R-15-13 with the addition of the comment made by Mrs. Wieland about 11-1D and the deletion of the proposed policies to 1D.
81D.
81D.
Okay. Is that enough specificity? Do you have that down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Writing as she was.
Okay, very good.
We're good.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comments from the council? No. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dent?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Item number five, discussion of possible approval to purchase a pump from Phoenix Pumps Incorporated for the Mule Gulch lift station for a total cost of $11,987 plus tax.
Mr. Andy Heretic from the Public Works Department.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. get my thoughts all together here. As you remember, during the Hurricane Odile last year, the main pump that pumps sewage from Old Bisbee to the Mule Gulch lift station and then onward to the wastewater plant failed during the storm. The city was fortunate enough, although it took some time, to rent a pump so that we could get that sewage out of this particular lift station to the Mule Gulch station. The industry standard for pumps or for wastewater plants is to have a redundancy of 2.5 times, which is basically 3. We were very fortunate that Hurricane Odile was deemed a natural disaster by the governor, and we were able to cover the cost of renting a pump for the amount of $10,000. We were able to be reimbursed for that pump in the event that it was not declared a natural disaster or an emergency. The city would have been on the hook for a rented pump of $10,000. We would have still had to pay the $6,000 to repair the pump that was broken, and we would still not have redundancy in the system. What this pump does is this brings us to a point where if we have another failure, we can then very quickly go to that lift station and replace the pump. It puts us in a position where we protect ourselves. We have about 8.5 hours of space in the system. If the pump fails and the sewage can't get out of this lift station, within about 8.5 hours, all of Old Bisbee would be dealing with sewage, or we would have to release the sewage onto the ground. So what we've done is the city, more and more now in Public Works, we're relying on state purchasing. So this pump is being purchased through state purchasing in the amount of $11,987, and this ensures us to be in a position that next time we do have an emergency, we can address it in-house.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the council? Do we have a motion? Council Member Hansen.
I noticed that on the item for the agenda, the balance and line item, if approved, there wasn't anything there. Where is this coming out of? What funds?
This is coming out of the wastewater department's out of their budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there anything left in that budget line, or?
There is money left in the budget line, and next time I present something like this to you, I will actually let you know what that total is. It's interesting within the city budgets that sometimes we will overrun a line item in the budget, but the way the city manages their budget is what we're really concerned about is the bottom line. Many items sometimes will push a particular line over.
Right.
But then sometimes, as in some of these budgets, we make it up by not spending money on other line items. But next time I will be sure and let you know what it leaves in that particular
Thank
line
you.
Item.
Any other questions from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move to approve purchase of a pump from Phoenix Pumps, Inc. for the Mule Gulch lift station for a total cost of $11,987 plus tax.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Heretic.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
We will now proceed to the City Manager's Report. Mr. Justin Johnson.
Thank you, Mayor. Just real quick. Thursday is week 4 of Bisbee 101. This week we'll be tackling library and Queen Mind Tour. So the last couple of weeks have been very interesting for the students. talked to a couple of students in the class, and they've thoroughly enjoyed the classes so far. So the staff has done a marvelous job in putting everything together. So that's all I have.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Do we not have work sessions coming up next week?
8th and 9th.
September 8th and 9th. Nina sent out a couple of emails for workshops next week, and so what?
The 8th is going to be on the fire department to inform both the council and the public what they do and how they work, and the 9th.
The sales tax.
Is on the
sales tax.
Uh huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they both begin at 5:30.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is adjourned.
What's the one on the ninth?